You might like to turn in your Bible again to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 1. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence. So deal with us according to your goodness. And our God, we're going to thank you. Spirit of God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we have been looking at his wonderful, necessary death and the absolute necessity of us understanding why that had to happen and the outlook that we'd have if we leave him out. The outlook is very, very bad, to say the least, if we leave him out of the picture. So now, here in the beginning, Luke chapter 1, we are reminded that on his birth, in the light of Christmas and that, in the light of that, giving the account in the Gospel of Luke, it is mentioned, God puts it right up front, in chapter 1, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And that's what they did. And chapter 2, and in verse 21, chapter 2 and verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So the name of a Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the carpenter. His name is Jesus, all right? And just to remind ourselves of that name, over, if you would please, to the book of Exodus. And Exodus chapter 3, as you'd know, Exodus chapter 3, and you would recall Moses wants to know the one who spoke to him out of the burning bush, and he's given him the assignment to go to Egypt, to Pharaoh, and Moses wants to know how he can speak of him, the one who's in the bush. He wants to know how to name him, what name to give him. And thus, chapter 13, the end, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And verse 15, God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. So forever, I am that I am. Our Lord will say it. Remember, in our study of the Gospel of John, in one of the occasions, he said, how can I say it more clearly? I am that I am. I am who I am. I am exactly who I am. I am who I am forever. Forever and ever and ever. Now, having said that little bit in mind, over, if you would please, to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. And remember now, my name is forever then. And my name is the issue. For my name's sake, it's all about my who I am. For my name's sake, will I delay mine anger? And for my praise, will I refrain, hold back for thee, that I cut thee not off? Otherwise I'd judge you. Behold, because of who I am, I don't. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Verse 11. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? I will not give my glory unto another. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I am also the last. My name, my wonderful, wonderful name. It will not be, the whole thing is about you, who you are, God. That's right. And my name, my nature, my essence, my being, all that comprises my person is in that name. I am that I am. I will not let that name be polluted. Now we read, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now remember now, going from the Old New Testament, Jesus, and going to the Old Testament, same. Name Jehovah, Joshua, as it were. And so the name Savior, the Savior, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He's the Savior. Now, so the name Jesus is made of what? It's made of the word Jehovah or Yahweh, or in your Bible, L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D, Lord. And then you're going to add a verb to it, which to save, the name. Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. He saves. That's what he does. Jehovah saves. Thus, Jehovah is the Savior. And if you would, over in your Bible, over to Isaiah 43, just to follow it, because you need to connect. What is God saying in the birth of his son in Bethlehem of Judea? He gives him a name, very specifically, the name Jesus. Remember, Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save you, me, and everyone else from their sin. Now, so God, you made it clear when you were given a human body, human person, thou shalt name this person Jesus. Chapter 43 of Isaiah, picking up in verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. Having said that, I am the Lord thy God, I'm the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. There's your word. Thy Savior. I'm the Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Savior. Jehovah saves. He's the Savior. I'm the Savior. Who is in this little babe? God. God, for what reason? Because you're the Savior. You're the Savior of the world. Hang on. No question. You're the only Savior. That's right. You're going to say it 500 times, it seems. Over and over again. So we get it clearly. Why on earth were you born? To save us from our terrible lot. That which we've inherited from Adam, that which we have earned by our own words, works, and deeds, and thoughts. We've earned it. Our wages of sin is death. God, you provided a Savior. That's correct. Over in verse 12. I'll read verse 10 even. Well, give a fullness to it. You are, verse 43:10, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that's Israel, my servant whom I have chosen, that purpose you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. You need to know who I am. God, we're in your presence. We're trying to make sure we recognize God, you, who you are. I am He, verse 10. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There's your word. Verse 12. I have declared, I have saved, I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. God the Savior. That's right. I'm the only God and the only Savior. You need to understand that. Chapter 45. And in chapter 45 again, in verse 15. Verily thou art a God that hideth thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. I'm the Savior. I'm the only one there is. I'll read verse 16. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. Idols are powerless. They're nothing. Verse 17. But Israel shall be saved, there's your word, in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. I'm the Savior, and I'm the only God. Idols will only shame you. Religion will leave you embarrassed and naked and bankrupt. All the philosophies will leave you bankrupt. I'm the only God and the only Savior. And those who trust and look to me are going to enjoy the wonderful person that I am. I happen to be the Savior of the world. Over, if I can, in verse 21. Well, to pick up the flavor of this, verse 20, assemble yourselves, come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of all the nations. They have no knowledge that set up wood, the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Can't save any time, way, shape, or form, cannot help you. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let everyone come that will listen, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from ancient old time, who hath told it from that time, have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, I'm the only one, a just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Why is that? For I am God and there's none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Now hang on to that. So I want you to know I'm the only Savior, the only God. To Israel, to the whole world, to every nation, every person ever born on the face of the earth. Genesis 3:17, 3:15, the promise of a Savior. I'm the Savior. I'm the Savior. God said, I'm the Savior. I am that I am. I am the Savior, the deliverer of the world. There is none other. Chapter 45, as we read in verse 21, etc. Now, so we need to be saved. So now, having said that about that, God, we need to trust you and understand. So now, over to Hosea. Hosea chapter 13. Now, God, you made it clear to Israel, among others, that you're the only God and the only Savior. So here in Hosea chapter 13, only God, only Savior, thou shalt call his name Jesus, the Savior. Jehovah saves. Chapter Hosea, chapter 13. Remember, we shared this the other day when we were there. And picking up, if I can, in verse 4. Yet I am the Lord. Remember, Israel's doing its thing, going to go the Assyrian captivity. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. Thou shalt know no God but me, and therefore there is no Savior beside me. I'm the only God and the only Savior. So here we are going up and down, work, home, school, people ever coming and going, and they're trying to find solutions to this and that they come up against. That's what they do. And they're looking for whatever, the government for something, and the sale of the catalog from something, or something else, from persons, places, things. And they're looking. They're looking for provision. And they're looking for that. And as long as it's met on our level, then we're satisfied and it's enough. But it never is enough, actually, because it's never going to fulfill the need of our heart. We need, easy way. You need to eat. You eat food. And you're going to surely need to eat again. And you're going to know it. Say, everything comes in, satisfy, but it doesn't satisfy. Everything has to be. You bought a new shirt. The shirt's only good for so long. That's it. Everything's only so long, only for a minute. And therefore, God says, listen, do you understand your need, the need of your heart? Your heart needs a Savior. I am the only one. You, the person, in your words and thoughts and deeds, need a Savior. I'm the only one. Without it, you have no Savior. There is no Savior. There is no solution for your life. Period. That's all. There just isn't a solution apart from me. And I have made it possible by the birth, the incarnation. The Word of God became flesh, John 1:14. I have made it possible in and of and by myself to save you. I'm the Savior. Thou shalt call my name Jesus. That's what you should do. I'm the Savior. Wow. Now, so here we are. And Israel has to learn it. That's what they're going to do. The Assyrian captivity, Babylonian captivity, the Roman Titus in 70 AD, leveling the city and all of that stuff. Wow. And Israel, over there, God bless you, but you're going to have to learn He's the Savior. There is no other Savior, if I could yell loud enough to project across the ocean. He's the only Savior, the one you crucified, the one born in Bethlehem of Judea, the one you said, who is this Jesus? And you should have known. God made it so clear. Thus, verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. We're just talking about it. Verse 10. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities, in the Antichrist and with all of it? Thy judges of whom thou saidest, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in mine anger and took him away in my wrath. I never wanted you to have a king. You had to learn by having a king that no king on earth is kingly enough to do anything for you. No government is able to do anything. So now, having said that little bit, and they're going to get it, the message, eventually, chapter 14 of Hosea, they're going to confess. Take, verse 2, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. We're going to honor you with our words. Asher, Assyria, shall not save us. There's your word. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, our idols. You are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. So God, we're going to get it correct, but we aren't ready yet to have the correcting process take place. So now, having said that little bit, over to Matthew and chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Now, God, you're going to take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you're going to give four different windows to look through to see who you are. And you're going to do that. And for the Israelite, the king, you'll have no king. I'm the only king. That's the Gospel of Matthew. I'm the King of Kings. Aha. So when you begin Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So what are you going to, God, you're going to give us some information. I am. I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm going to tell you who I am. The generation, I am the Lord. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, do you understand? Tribe of Judah, born in Bethlehem of Judea, chapter 1, Matthew, verse 21. And ye shall bring forth 1 and 21. And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he will shall save his people from their sins. So there's no question at all. Let it be known. I'm going to say it as clearly, spell it out to the believing heart that would pay attention. I am able to save. You're going to call his name Jesus. So you know. Know what? That I am the only Savior. That's why you're going to say Jesus. I'm the only Savior. There's no other one. And I made it clear, page after page of history, and now here he is born in Bethlehem of Judea. I'm going to make it as clear as I can to you, that thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now, in the process of that, over to and the Lord Jesus, wonderful. And what are you going to do? Luke chapter 19. Luke's going to tell us. And picking up, if I may, Luke 19. And remember to Zacchaeus, what are you going to say to him? Among other things. Verse 9. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For reason, verse 10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save, there's your word, that which was lost. And it doesn't mean I can't, remember the word lost doesn't mean he can't find it. It's just no use to him. It would be like having a watch, but it doesn't work. I didn't lose it. It just doesn't work. It's lost its value. It has no value. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, and having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, now, if you would, over to the book of Acts. Now, God, you're going to make it clear, I am, over and over again. The book of Acts and chapter 2. So as we turn God's word, you're going to spell out as clearly as possible that who you are. You're the only Savior. And I just need to settle that. You're the only doctor in town. You're the only provider. So whatever I got, guess what? If I need a doctor, who would you go to? The only doctor there is. If I need help, God, you're the only God, period. Not a whole lot of gods, not a whole lot of religion, a whole lot of anything. God, you're the only one. You're the one, and by the way, you said you're the only one that can save. So I don't have any problem. It's just, what am I going to do with you? And how am I going to divest myself of your wonderful person and presence? I'm going to get all tied up in persons, places, and things, so I lose you. All caught up in the holidays, caught up in being alive, caught up in this and that, so I don't have to think about you. You're the only Savior. Ah. Now, chapter 2 of Acts, if I may, Peter's great message, first on the day of Pentecost. Chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. You all know. You all saw him. You all heard him. He fed you. He healed you. You know him. You do. You do. What are you going to do with him? Verse 23. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Verse 24. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it, cannot be held by it. Wow. Now, so here we are. Here's all apostles and the disciples, etc. Now, what is our purpose? To let you know what? To remind you that you rejected him and crucified him, and we're reminding you of what you've done and that who he is, so you need to believe. Verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell or Hades, neither the flesh did see corruption. Verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one. That's right. He is the one without question. And having said that, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. God, you're the only Savior, and you've taken and the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the housed by your perfect person, you have made this person in his perfect humanity and deity, Lord and Christ. That's what I did. Uh-huh. He's the only Savior. Acts chapter 60. Acts chapter 60. And you will note to the jailer, remember, Philippian jailer, that chapter 16, in verse 28, little context. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. Remember, they thought the prisoners all escaped. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came and trembling and the jailer and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Uh-huh. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's his name, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. So you need to believe. You need to believe in your heart that God is able to save to the uttermost. without any question. Wow. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would, in your Bible, over to, Philippians. Philippians in chapter 2. Remember, we read in Isaiah, every knee shall bow at his name. Every knee. Now, so here we are looking, and our Lord introduces himself. I'll read it to pick up the flavor. Verse 5, Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what we read in John 12, 23, 24, 25. That's what you're trying to tell us. Trying to tell us this is the singularness of this. The whole thing, it's so easy. Make it all confusing. Verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Above every name? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue, every language should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His name is Jesus. The Father has pronounced upon him Lord and Christ. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, and every name in forever is going to bow to him. Wow. To God. We're in his presence. Wow. What's in a name? God's in the name. God is the Savior, the only God and the only Savior. Wow. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, all over in, for time's sake, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. What are we going to do? Well, we take the Lord's table, and when we do, verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread, etc. Now, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Everyone, he's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And you understand, I have given him a name above every name that is ever to be named. He's the one. There is no other now. Hang on to that. There is no other one. No. And we want to make sure we understand that Christ died. And without going into the little section, we want to understand that when we take of the Lord's table, we're remembering the Lord's death until he comes, because that's what we're doing. We're mindful of who he is. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He is the sovereign, omnipotent, reigning Lord. He's God. God, wonderfully, wonderfully in the flesh. Now, over to pick up that a little bit. God, that name, you're going to hang on to that name. I want every knee's going to bow to that name. Why is that? Because it's my name. What do you mean? I told you, I'm the only God and the only Savior. And the great white throne judgment is about my judgment. I was able to save everyone that's going to be judged. But they chose not to believe, and therefore they're judged. I want you to know that I, the Savior, am judging them. I would have saved them, but they chose not to. And no one will say boo. Wow. Now, over to Revelation. Revelation, if you would. And in chapter 1. The last book that sums up all of it. From Genesis starts it out, and Revelation ties it all together. So, when we come, God, how are we going to understand? You're the Genesis 3:15, I'm the only Savior, the seed of the woman, born in Bethlehem of Judea. His name's going to be called Jesus. He's the Savior. Now, Revelation, God, you're going to put it all together. I am. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent his and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Verse 2. And bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So, God, you're going to start out and it's all about Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth. That's right. I wanted to tell you the whole thing from Genesis 3:15. I'm the Savior. I told you that 1,000 ways. I'm the Savior. I'm the only one. And I want you to know when it all comes together, every knee's going to bow at my name. Jesus. Hang on. And so when you write your final statements about everything that's going to be even after you come, a new heaven and a new earth, it's going to start, it's all about Jesus the Christ. Uh-huh. Over to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Now, how are we going to end? God, I'm interested in how you're going to end. How are you going to say it to us? We don't want to read it. Then they don't. But there it is, chapter 22, verse 16. Your own personal testimony. You're saying it, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches, which we're doing. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. I am Jesus of Nazareth. You understand? It's all about me. So you want to know, you're going to have to come to me. I'm the only Savior. You want to talk about prophecy and everything? But I want you to know, over to chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not, that's to an angel, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant. And of thy brethren, that they all have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. God points to his word, prophetic word. His Bible points to who he is. He points to his word. His word points to him. He's Jesus. I told you, I didn't say that nice little name for nothing. Jesus born in Bethlehem of Judea. No, you better understand the awesomeness again of that name. Over if you would, please. In 1, 2, 3. Over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, I'm going to hit just verse 18, 28, 18. This is the Great Commission, as it were, called. And Jesus came to the disciples, resurrection, and spake unto them, saying what? All power, all authority, all the right and the might is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I am made Lord and Christ. You want to know where you're going to go and find God? Look at me. I am Jesus, God in the flesh. I'm the Savior. Where are you going to find it? You aren't going to find it in an angel. You're going to find it in me. And thus, you're we baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We're placed into a wonderful identification with His name that will not be polluted. His name, I am the only God and the only Savior. Back over, if you would, to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John in chapter 14. And picking up if I can. God, we're placed in your wonderful name, and your name, Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. That's right. Wow. Jesus, we know his father and mother. No, you don't. You just know his mother, Mary. You don't know his father, otherwise you'd be saved. He's from God. Born of the Virgin Mary. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. You understand? You guys didn't get it, did you? All you do is try to see it from a human standpoint, and you miss the whole thing. You just miss out. Well, Jesus, you crucified. And I need to understand that. We do it in remembrance of me. So I understand what? I'm in the presence, your presence. And how am I going to identify you with God? By the way, believing, if you receive, as many as received him, the right gave you the privilege, the power, to become children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So, God, how am I going to identify? When you receive my son. Do you understand? You receive me, what? Here we have God. I receive God into my heart as my Savior. That's what I did. I got saved. God, how do I know you can save? Jesus saves. Do you know my name? Believe in my name. Receive me. You should be saved. Wow. Now, so John chapter 14, picking up if I can, verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You're going to believe and ask in my name. And anything you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. That's what you're going to do. Chapter 15 and in verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So God, we're to have a unique relationship being saved. We're saved sinners. Wow. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. Yes, it is. Over to 1 John in closing. 1 John. Picking up 1 John. And in chapter 5. I'll read it since it's relevant. Verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness where? Inside of him, himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. God, you really can't save. You really aren't who you are. But he is who he is. Because he believeth not the record, the witness, the testimony that God gave of his Son. What did you give about your Son? His name should be called Jesus. I'm trying to tell you. You want to know about me? I identify. You want to, God, how do we know? His name is Jesus. So there's no question about anyone anywhere. Do you understand? His name is Jesus. Verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You understand that he's the Lord. He's the Savior. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. God, you did a wonderful thing for us. You wrote it down, so we're reading it. And why did you write it in Matthew? Why did you write it in Luke? Why did you write it? Because I want you to know who I am. I've been saying it since Genesis, since Adam and Eve. I've been telling you who I am. And each generation has an opportunity to know who I am. And in this generation, we are this close to the end of the church age. And you have all this information in front of you. And yet, so many don't believe. They just don't believe. Wow. So God, these are written. And thus, verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. For what? That we may know him that is true. That's God. That we are in him. God in us. Uh-huh. That is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. By the way, this is the true God and eternal life. Now God said, I don't know how clearly I can say it to you. I did it in a most miraculous fashion. I did it in the light of a little virgin girl who said, can it be possible? Is it possible? And God said, it is. And you're going to give birth to a little baby. And the baby's name is going to be called Jesus. And you know what? Mary's going to say, I need you, not right off, but later, she's going to need him as a Savior. It dawns on her. I gave birth to the Son of Man, to the Son of God, to the Savior of the world. I did that. Wonder of wonders. Wow. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There is no other name given among men anywhere forever that at his name, Jesus, every knee shall bow. That's awesome. My heart bows to Jesus, my Savior and my God. We'll pray. Our Father, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. And God, thank you. Thank you for everything so wonderfully simple. We just sort of goof it all up. God. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Deal with the heart of each one, boy, girl, man, or woman. Deal with our country. Deal with the sick, the wayward, God. In these days when people slide and slip and they just fail to take you at your word and bend their head and heart in your presence, that you might be to them all that you are. And that's what you wish as we bow before you, to be to us God the Savior, in the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who we confess is our Savior and Lord. So God, deal with us, our country, our world, Israel. Thank you very, very much for caring. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we can sing, please, a stanza.